Hey, open in your Bibles to Matthew 25. As you're doing that, this morning, we're talking a little bit about the idea of service. So yesterday, I shared on fearing the Lord and considering the great things that he's done. But this morning, as we talk about that verse, fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, I want to focus on the things that God has given you, the abilities, the talent, the giftedness, and how are you using those to impact the kingdom of God? We all have different abilities. We all have different opportunities. And as you just saw, a couple months ago, I got to go over to Eastern Europe, a country called Romania that about 40 years ago was under communist rule and under a dictator that then had a revolution. They got rid of the dictator, and now there's these orphans that live in this country. And if you look it up on Google, it'll say approximately 40,000 orphans that live in the country. The reality that as Heart to Heart International, the organization that we worked with, has spent time there, they estimate that there's closer to 150,000 to 200,000 orphans, kids, babies, mom, that don't have a mom or a dad or somebody to provide the different things that they need to survive. For years, Hume has talked about world missions and support world missions and things that are going on around the world. And so this morning, we're just going to take a look at that. So open in your Bibles to Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, the parable of the talents. So a parable is a story, kind of a word picture that Jesus used to teach the people. And in this parable, it's the parable of the talents. And he's not necessarily talking about like gifting and abilities, but there is reference to the abilities that we all have in this. A talent back then in the Bible times was a sum of money. So we're going to read a little bit of this. It's a little bit long. Can you guys hang with me? Wait, can you guys hang with me? Oh, awesome. Awesome. Okay. Parable of the talents, Matthew 25, starting in verse 14, it says this: "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you've delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much more. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had received the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But the master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the banks. And at my coming home, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will be given, and he, wait. For to everyone who has will be given, and he who has will have an abundance. But for the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the darkness, into the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. This story of the talents, this story of these three guys that were given a sum of money, each to his own ability. And two of them did something with it, according to their abilities. The final servant did nothing. He buried it in the dirt and thought, you know what? I know my master is a hard man. I'm afraid. I'm just gonna bury it. And when he comes back, if he comes back, which I bet he probably wished that he didn't, I'll give it back to him. But that's not why the master gave the talents, the money, to the servants. He gave it to them to see what they would do with it. Each of us have different abilities. Each of us have different gifts. What are you doing with the gifts that you have? You saw on the video, Heart to Heart International, that works in the country of Romania. The founder, Jim, who was a house builder here in Southern California, was building these big, huge houses, and the people that were having him build these houses were giving him lots of money, and he was using his gifts and his ability to do some amazing things in building these beautiful, beautiful, beautiful homes. But there was something left inside of him that went, you know what? There's more to life than this. He went over to Romania, saw God work. And towards the end of the video, you saw and heard him say, I did it out of obedience. Because he felt God was calling him and telling him that he needed to use his gifts, his abilities, to do something more. As he did that, instead of building homes for the rich in Southern California, in the San Diego area, he built a ministry. They have multiple houses now where they run these transition homes, and his abilities to build something turned into building a ministry where as kids come out of the orphanages, they can learn how to get a job and how to budget their money and do some of the things that they're just not taught, with some of the experiences that they're just not given when somebody isn't constantly investing into them. There's so much more to this story, and I want to share a little bit more of that story with you now with one more video. Let's watch. When I say that, it's true. And I say that a lot because I've chosen to make God an active part of my life and the role in my life. When I think about all of you sitting there and the potential that you have to do something, as I spent time in Romania, I've gotten to go a couple times actually. My sister was one of the young ladies there sitting next to Jim on the right-hand side of her. We grew up in a town called Bakersfield, California. Jenny was a school teacher, and she loved kids. And one day, I don't know how it got started, but they connected with Heart to Heart and went to Romania. She went like three times, and finally one of the ladies in the church said, have you ever thought about going and serving over there in Romania full time? And she said, well, not, no. But God planted a little seed in her heart, and eventually she moved over to Romania, Bucharest, Romania, and has been serving there now for 14 years. 14 years, a school teacher, the founder, a house builder. There's another girl who went to school to become a professional musician, and she teaches music. And one of the things that I enjoy so much about a ministry like Heart to Heart is they, and getting to go and spend time with my sister. I went 2 years ago. It was just her and I. And she took me to this orphanage called Parish. And Parish, it's a special needs orphanage, and yet so many of these kids, there's nothing special needs about them. It might just be that their brother or sister is there, and so they want to keep them together, or there's any number of reasons. But they just spend time with them, and it's amazing how far a smile can go, how far a hug can go, how far just playing games. We just played games, and throughout their time there, they do character classes, and they teach Bible studies and do youth groups for these kids and in a number of different orphanages. And then as they grow up, in eighth grade, that school only goes to eighth grade because they feel like that's as far as a special needs kid could go. Some of these kids have actually gone on into high school. But once they graduate from high school, what do? There's been nobody investing in them, nobody providing, even the fact that each morning and evening I get these little notes with food that say, 4J. Nobody's providing for these kids. Nobody's making sure they have shoes. You saw Isabella, right? Isabella was 9 years old when she ran away from home and started living on the streets, a nine-year-old. Remember my daughter Tanner, the nine-year-old girl who went to camp? What happens when it snows? She went down underground. She shared with us. She hadn't shared it with many people. That she went down into the sewer system, and in the sewer system, there's a whole nother world in some of these countries down there, just to stay warm. Eventually, some social workers found her. What are you gonna do with the gifts that you have? My sister saw a need, and I'm so proud of her. I'm so, so proud of her. That she just said, man, I love kids. I love those kids. I wonder what it would look like for me to live over there. Do you guys want to talk to my sister? We have these amazing devices that allow us to do amazing things right now. It's a little bit late, but let's call her and see what she's doing. Let's see what she's doing. Hold on. Let's just see what happens here. Whoa!
Hey, whoa.
Hi.
Hello!
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm fine. Hi, Hume San Diego.
Hold on. What's
up?
I
have a friend here with me today.
I see that. Hello, Isabella.
How are you, Jay? I miss you.
Oh, I miss you too.
And that's so sweet. And Richard and Jay. They're not here.
Okay.
Yeah, they're at the lake. Hi.
Yeah.
It's good to see you. What are you guys doing right now?
Well, we just got done eating dinner because we are 10 hours ahead of you guys.
10 hours ahead. Awesome.
Yeah.
And what have you been doing this week?
Well, we here at Heart to Heart are running an arts camp this week. And so today, actually, Isabella and I taught a cooking class.
You taught a cooking class? Really? What did you make?
Yeah. Well, it's more of a food art class. Right. And we made this under the sea design on a plate.
Like fish.
Crabs out of fruit and vegetables, you know?
Oh, yeah. 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 Awesome.
Isn't that awesome?
Very cool. Isabel, it's good to see you. We typically, it's been a little while. How are you doing?
Oh, I play soccer in Parish. Today.
What?
She went to Parish and she played soccer.
Yeah. Oh, nice. How many goals today did you score?
Three or four.
Yeah. Isabella, she's got mad skills out there on the soccer field. It's pretty crazy.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, I got schooled. I basically got made fun of the whole time. It was awesome, but that's okay. Ginny, Isabella, you guys have been running some camp the last couple weeks, right?
Yeah, oh yes, we have. Yeah.
So, like, what are some of the things you guys have been seeing as you've been running camp?
Well, we bring about 13 to 15 kids to our house.
Okay.
And they've been doing a theme of, living water.
Okay.
And so they've been doing the stories of Jonah, Peter walking on the water, and Paul being shipwrecked. And they've been talking about trust and obedience and courage. And so it's been a lot of fun. And we've integrated the Under the Sea theme into that. And so it's been a lot of fun with the kids. And then in the afternoon, they get to swim in our swimming pool. And it's like the highlight of their whole summer.
Going in the swimming pool is the highlight of their summer.
Yeah.
So cool. So cool.
Yeah.
And have you guys seen some cool things? What's God been doing?
We have been seeing some amazing things. A couple of weeks ago, we had some of our interns down in a town called Alexander running a camp, and one of the girls there accepted Christ. So that was really awesome.
Awesome.
A real blessing. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Fantastic.
Isabella gets really excited about these kinds of things.
Yes, she does. Isabella. It's really good to see you. What have you been learning these days? What has God been teaching you?
Lots
of things. He's been teaching her lots of things.
Yeah. Have you been nice to my sister?
Yes,
of course. That's good. What are some of the things God's been teaching you, Isabella?
Ce m-am învățat să ajut pe cel lângă mine, mai ales dacă am trăit aceeași poveste.
To help others that are closer, even if she has the same story as them, help them and be by their side.
That's good. What do you want to do with your life, Isabella? This question again from Jay.
I want to work with children.
Yeah.
She wants to work with children.
Yep. How do you want to do that? What do you want to do?
I am volunteer.
To volunteer in the orphanages and help us with our programming and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Oh. There it goes. Oh. Good. Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah.
Fantastic. Ginny, tell us a little bit. I mentioned Parish earlier. And just a little bit, what's it like growing up in Parish?
Sure. So we work in an orphanage called Parish, and Parish is actually a special needs orphanage. And the kids there are, from the time that they arrive there, they're labeled as special needs kids. And from that point on, their identity becomes wrapped up in the fact that they are either an orphan, a gypsy, a special needs kid, and whether they're a special needs kid or not. And so these kids, they range from the age of like 5 to 18. They live there, they eat there, they sleep there, they go to school there. It's kind of like a compound type of an idea. And they have like a wall around it, and there's a guard that sits at the front and a guard that sits at the back, because the kids maybe want to try to run away. Did you ever try to run away?
Just once. I put all my socks in a barn, little barn thing.
Yeah.
Those little Fisher Price ones. Yeah,
it's really no good.
Yeah.
They also have workers there that supervise them, kind of like kind of like parents, but not really. And some of those workers are better than others. Some of them care. Some of them don't really care. And so it depends on the worker. So, yeah, it's different than what we're used to. So. Yeah.
And what does their future look like as they come out of the orphanage then?
When they come out of the orphanage, they have several options. If they interview and qualify for our transition program, then they can come into our transition program.
Uh-oh.
The Department of Child Services, they're looking for their families, so some of them are going back home to their families, or they move in with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And so there's several different options there.
Yeah, yeah. That label, though, of being special needs and only getting an education to eighth grade really is difficult, though, right?
Especially at Parrish. At Parrish, it's only up until eighth grade. Some of the other orphanages that we work in, they can go up through 12th grade, but that label really identifies them as orphan, or it's hard to get a job when you only have an eighth grade education. So, yeah.
Yeah. So some of the different things that orphans have to overcome are some of those things like identity, that they have the identity as an orphan, but then some of those orphanages are incredibly difficult when they come out. Like, if their papers say that they're from this orphanage, that means that they're like, well, we don't really want to talk to them, or so it's very difficult to get a job. So, hey, I would love to talk, but I probably need to go back to work.
I know that. Yeah, me too. I've got a house full of people, team members, that are just waiting for me to come out there and talk to them.
Yeah.
So.
How many do you have this week?
We have about 16 people here right now that are helping us love on the kids. So
awesome.
My hands are multiplied when we have extra people here. So that's the beauty of it.
That's good. That's really good. Okay. Well, I've got, there's almost 400 people waiting for me. So I better go as well.
Well, you know, you could send them on over to Romania. That would really help us out.
There you go. Anybody want to go to Romania and hang out with orphans? Yeah.
Woo!
It's good times.
Yeah.
Okay. Isabella, it's really, really good to see you. Have a great time helping with the camp, loving on kids, and hanging out with my sis.
Yeah.
Okay,
hey,
bye.
It was good to talk to you. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
Bye,
bye-bye.
Everyone.
Bye. Okay. Oh, I hate this. I hate that we have to say goodbye. Why do we have to say goodbye? Hi. So Isabella, this amazing story, this amazing girl, did you see that smile? I mean, the joy that she has for life is just, it's like amazing. The fact that she survived on the streets as a 9-year-old is incredible. And just wanting to give back to other kids now, as she's been in the transition program, they helped get her a job, but there's things that she has to do because she hasn't lived in a place where her parents are helping guide and provide for her, like just learning how to spend her money, how to save her money. Like, when I say be nice to my sister, because, like, you know, when you have no boundaries, when you have no schedule and discipline in your life, they have to figure that out. And as much as it stinks sometimes for us to, like, you know, like, do what we're told or be where we're supposed to, where our parents or other people, adults, tell us where to be, where you live under my authority here, kind of like under the rules that Jeff and I have set, they don't have anybody telling them to do that at times. It's kind of like Lord of the Flies at Parrish, if you've read that book. Has anybody read that book? And yeah, it's crazy. And yet for some of these kids, some of the baby in the baby hospital, kids that are abandoned, that they find on the streets, just sharing a smile, a hug, playing a game is so, so important. What does that mean for you guys? It might not mean going over to a country like Romania or somewhere else in the world, though if that's something that you go, man, I would love to hear more about that. Please talk to your counselor. Come talk to one of our staff. It might mean that you use your gifts, your abilities here. Some of you are going downtown today just to share a smile, clean up, or share a meal with someone. Here in San Diego, you have that ability in whatever town you're in. How are you using your gifts and your abilities, the things that God has given you? Just the fact that we get to come to camp is an amazing privilege. And yet so often we even take that for granted. I want to introduce you to the founder of, one of the founders of Heart to Heart. His name is Jim Sorrells. Come on up here, Jim. Because each of us have different abilities and different things. What I love, that I love so much about this ministry, because I've seen it for years, and them just living faithfully and walking through life. Jim, what are some of the other things and ways that you've seen God work through students?
Good morning, Hume.
Morning.
They're out there.
Yeah, they're out there.
Well, let me tell you a short story about, I think it was like the end of junior high, just getting ready to go into high school, so slightly younger than you guys. This girl found out that as we were sending a lot of clothing and stuff over to the kids in Romania, she one day asked, "What about underwear? There's never any underwear in the used clothing. What do they do?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of one of those unmentionable things, but they don't have any." And so she decided to try to take on a project to get people to give underwear for orphans. Now, that's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? Well, she went to her student body at her public school, pitched the whole idea, and in about 2 weeks' time, they raised 750 pounds of underwear. I'm not saying pairs, I'm saying pounds of underwear.
I've never heard of underwear being counted by pounds.
Well, you know, when it's that much.
Yeah.
And you got to take it over, you know, in 100-pound bags at a time, you start counting it up.
Yeah.
It was a lot of underwear. So, you know, we collected all this underwear, we took it over to Romania, handed it out to the kids. Some of the kids were so ecstatic about having underwear, they're wearing it on the outside of their clothes. Oh, no, that's not how this works.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, you know, when the little kid got his first set of Spider-Man underwear, this was a really cool thing for him. He wanted everybody to see it.
Absolutely.
But, it was really great. So I'm flying back home from that trip, and I'm sitting in my seat in the plane, this gentleman comes and sits next to me, and we start talking about, you know, what do you do and all this kind of stuff. And I explained to him that, you know, I just delivered a bunch of underwear to orphan kids in Romania. And he looks at me and he goes, "You need underwear?" I went, "Well, yeah, we just, it's one of the things we need." And he reaches in his pocket and he gives me a card. He says, "Give me a call when you get home." And I look at his card and it's the president of Jockey Underwear.
How does that happen? How does that happen, you guys?
It's only God.
It's only God. It's incredible.
You know, I wouldn't have met the president of Jockey Underwear. He wouldn't have sent us truckloads of underwear had it not been one girl who saw the need and said, "Can I do something?" Now, she's like some of you. You don't have your license yet. If you want to do something, you got to get your mom to drive you there. I understand where you're at. I feel your pain. But she stepped out and did it anyways. She did something that was very, very significant in the lives of those kids. And today we have a lot of stuff going on in our lives. We have so many things that are taking up our time. But the challenge I want to give you today is, are the things that you're doing, are they significant? Are they changing other people's lives? So many things that we do are going to be gone tomorrow. But yet, we have the opportunity every single day to do something that is very, very significant, and especially in a spiritual way. You've got friends in school that maybe you need to take the time to just share with them what Christ means to you. That's something super significant because it changes their life. Maybe, I was talking about all these kids in Romania, you go, man, I'd like to see that. I'd like to go help them. That would be something very significant. These kids that we work with, they never forget anybody that comes and works with them. I have kids coming up to me, asking me about somebody by name, and I'm going, I have no idea who you're talking about. Well, it was 5 years ago. They came on one of your teams. I'm like,
yeah.
Really? I'm supposed to remember every team member? But they don't forget. They remember that stuff.
Yeah.
So my challenge for you is to really think about what you can do that is significant.
Yeah.
Can I borrow your card?
Yeah. A couple things. The practical things that you guys can do right now.
Well, one of them is there's a table way out there in the back, and we're also going to have a table set up at lunchtime. We're selling our kids. That sounds really bad, doesn't
it? Yeah,
it?
We shouldn't say it like that, should we?
No, what I've done is we've taken pictures of our kids in the orphanages. I put their name and their birth date on them. That one's wrong.
Yeah, I know. We found that out last week.
We put their names and their birth date on them. And then what I want you to do is buy one of these cards. They're only 10 bucks. That's not that much. But what happens is when I sell three of these cards, that kid gets to go to camp. Are you guys enjoying camp? I tell you what, our kids in Romania, they never get an opportunity like this, except for when you guys buy cards and help get them there. So that's one thing you can do. We got some t-shirts and stuff back there that also help the kids do things. But not only do they go to camp, but we have to supply them with toothpaste, toothbrushes, school supplies. If they need anything done with their teeth, we have to pay for them to go to a dentist. If they get sick, we have to take them to the doctor. All the things that, you know, we sort of take for granted that our family does for us, well, the heart-to-heart staff becomes their family. And so when you guys jump in and help us out, that really helps these kids.
Yeah.
Another thing you can do, talk to your youth leaders. We've got a special packet for them. And just go and talk to them and say, hey, I want to go help kids in Romania. And let's see how we can connect with your churches, and you guys can do something really significant then.
Yeah. Another thing that we can do is just pray. Pray for those that are serving. And so what we'd like to do right now is spend a few minutes in prayer for Romania, for the country, for orphans, and for Heart to Heart. So I've asked Jim to lead us through a prayer time. And if you could group up with 3 to 5 other people that you're here with. If you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, that's okay. You can pray quietly or you can pray out loud. But Jim's going to walk us through a few different specific ways that we can be praying for them and orphans in Romania.
Okay, let's move. Get in groups.
Jim, how can we be praying for Romania?
Well, let me give you a little bit of information about Romania. In January, we had a big election, and unfortunately, people got very apathetic, didn't show up to the polls, and Romania has slid back into a communist government. This is not a good thing. In fact, we are seeing now the kids in the orphanage are underfed, malnourished. They're not getting the needs from the government like they should be getting. So we're entering into a very, very bad and dark time. So we need to pray for God's protection of our kids in the orphanage and that God would intercede into the minds and the hearts of the people running the country to take care of those kids. So let's pray for that. Let's just take a minute and pray. Next, I'd like to kind of direct you toward praying for Heart to Heart as a ministry and the responsibilities that it has in helping to care for these kids, that God would really protect all of the workers in Romania and that God would just open the hearts of the kids, and most of all that God would keep those away that would try to interfere with us sharing the gospel with the kids. Now let's bring this down on a real personal level and just ask God, what do you want me to do? Whether it's somebody in my community, someone in my church, another colleague in school, or do you want me to be involved in missions overseas? Just open your heart, ask God, show me what you want. Father God, I just want to thank you for the awesome privilege that you give us to live in this country, to live with the freedoms and the things that you have given us. At the same time, though, just Father, I just pray that you'll put on our hearts and our minds the needs of others in the rest of the world, the thousands and thousands of children that live without a family. And Father, I just want to just hold up each person that's in this room and just ask you to touch their lives, touch their hearts, so that they can understand how close and how near this is to your heart to take care of the orphans. Father God, just give us a great day today and all the things that we do. But Father, I just pray that you'll put on our minds what it is that you want us to do. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.